Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Coping Skills Are Key and features Maddie Offenberger in an interview with Erin Sheena.
Hi there, I'm Erin Sheena, the editorial assistant of Imagine Magazine. I'd like to welcome Maddie Offenberger. Thank you so much for joining me today for this Imagine podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
So the COVID-19 pandemic has raised great concerns for children's mental health and well-being by caregivers, service providers, and professional organizations. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we'd like to find out about the challenges that you faced, how you promote good social and emotional development in infants and young children, and what supports you give to their parents, caregivers, and communities. We've prepared 10 questions for you.
All right, let's do it.
So question number one is, where do you work and what's your role?
So I am an employee here at Norton Healthcare in Louisville, Kentucky. We're a pretty large hospital system. I am a PRN music therapist here. I work for a variety of our different providers, including the Norton Cancer Institute, inpatient and outpatient. I work in our inpatient psychiatric facilities for adult and pediatric patients. I work for our inpatient population at Norton Audubon Hospital, and then I see mental health consults at Norton Children's Hospital. So I fall under a pretty wide umbrella here, just kind of bop around.
Jack of all trades, huh?
Some days, yeah.
So what's on your mind when you read about the rise in mental health issues among young children due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, well, for one, I think it's sad. I remember back to my childhood, and I was very lucky to have amazing parents and a fairly happy childhood that was fun and social. And it's just unfortunate that so many of our children now are not able to start their life that way. But we know this is kind of our new normal. So everybody's tired of hearing that phrase, but it's true. So how can we adapt? That's kind of what we've been thinking about. How do we learn to live like this? How do we learn to work like this? That's kind of what I've been thinking about. And another thing that's been on my mind is that particularly young children don't have the emotional capacity to understand this. They don't understand why they're sad. They don't understand why their parents or their caregivers are sad. They don't understand why everybody's so angry and stressed, but they know that it's happening. They can sense that energy. And so I can imagine if I were a young child, I would be very confused. And so I just think about that and how they need to be shown by their adults what to do. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know what to do. Not that we really know either, but we kind of just have to do the best we can. So it's challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. So how has COVID-19 affected the mental health of your patients?
Yeah, so I'm fairly new to the field. I have only worked amidst the COVID era. So I probably have a limited perspective, I guess, on this. But most of my coworkers throughout the hospital say they've never really seen kids be like they are today. I have noticed that my clients that are able to verbally express themselves have talked about how not being able to go to school and not being able to see their friends or make friends or go to soccer or church or wherever their normal places are to go, it's damaged their social skills and their self-esteem. And then what I've noticed with children that aren't to the point where they can verbally express themselves, they're acting with aggression, it seems like, with a lot of the youngest kids. Because they don't know what to do, right? But they're frustrated. So that's the only way they know how to express their frustration is to get angry, mm-hmm. And show that they're angry. So that's what we've been noticing with a lot of the really young kiddos at the hospital is, mm-hmm. is we're seeing signs of aggression in children that are far younger than we have seen that in that age range before. And another thing we're noticing is that there are children with no history of abuse or trauma or those things that we typically associate with a child that's going to need mental health support. Mm-hmm. They don't have any of those common factors that we think about in their life at all. You know, this is a quote unquote kid with an easy, regular life, mm-hmm. and they're still having a mental health crisis, mm-hmm. you know, and it's happening younger and younger and younger. You know, there are kids as far as, you know, toddler age, mm-hmm. that don't know how to deal with this, even if they've had a quote unquote easy life, mm-hmm. you know, it's permeating mm-hmm. everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Man.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough out there.
I'm glad you're there. All of that kind of taken into account, how have you adjusted your services to meet these new and changing needs?
What it's made me think about is trying to make my services as patient-led as they possibly can be. Mm. And sometimes that means kind of relinquishing some of the structure too, because what I feel like these children are showing they need more than anything is to just be heard and feel like they're heard and that someone cares about how they feel. Mm. And that can be adjusted in age-appropriate ways depending on who you are and where you're at. But even little littles have a desire to be heard and a desire to be understood.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, too, especially when you think about, you know, sometimes that's a role that parents normally would have filled or...
And they can't be there.
Right. They yeah. would have more capacity for,
yeah.
but, you know, we're all going through the same things that kiddos are.
And exactly.
So not having the capacity to interact with kiddos that way.
Exactly.
What are some ways to help children that are struggling with stress and fear and grief related to the pandemic through music therapy interventions?
Yeah. So one of the things that I have found myself coming back to is just finding any ways I can to help that child use music as a form of coping mm-hmm. with all of this. That's something that we can do even as a little person. Mm-hmm. It can look like music for self-regulation, or for an older person, it can be music used for more cognitive processing. But in all of those forms, it's coping kind of at the root of that. So for some people, that can be a physical manifestation of some of that anger, improvisational banging on drums or boom whackers or whatever. For some people, maybe it's like we're creating a nursery rhyme or some kind of like mantra I can sing to myself when I'm waking up in the middle of the night and I'm scared and mom and dad don't want me to come into their room because they haven't gotten any sleep. Mm. And I can sing this song about, you know, these are the things that I can control or whatever kind of song we create for a kid, but we do that together. Mm. Or maybe it's finding a way to incorporate the parents if there's been some kind of barrier created between either being constantly together or constantly apart because of COVID. Maybe we find a way for the two people, or parents or caregivers, I should say, for them to be together and do something together and strengthen that bond through music so that they feel secure in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be together when I'm not there.
Speaking of, how can parents help nurture the mental health of their children?
Yeah. I'm not a parent, so I can say what I have observed and what my thoughts would be based on observation.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of echoes back to what we've already said, but I think the best thing you can do is just listen,
mm-hmm.
And be patient, especially when children are in that age range where they're learning how to express themselves, they're learning how to use the right words, or they're learning what their emotions feel like and what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
ask them questions about how they're feeling, and then when they tell you, don't tell them that they're wrong, or don't immediately try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something as caregivers we naturally want to do, is to help the child quickly feel better. We want to find a way to turn it around or reframe or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I think something really powerful we can do at this time is just validate how they're feeling, and tell them, maybe you can say, you know what, I feel the same way, or I have felt that way before,
mm-hmm.
or there was a time when I was your age that I remember feeling that way. Having those conversations and speaking to them as though maybe they're more emotionally mature than they are, just because that helps them grow and develop that emotional
awareness.
And then just spending as much time with them as you can, doing fun stuff, knowing that they're loved and they can trust you, will make it easier to have those conversations about the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's obviously easier said than done when COVID is pulling us all in a million directions, but
yeah.
Being shown through action that you're safe and loved,
yeah,
especially for a child, is really important. So,
yeah. So how do you feel we can best support communities to build sustainable mental health and well-being for infants and young children and their families?
Yeah, so I think the best thing we can do here is support the caregivers first.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this saying, like, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? So the better you're feeling about your situation and your mental health and your security in your own life, the more you can adequately pour that into your child. The more you can share that with them and show them through your actions how they can create that for themselves one day. And how they can, I mean, in their own little kid ways, like how they can implement that into their life now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be things like going to bed early, or like, you know, taking time to play, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are important as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can show that that's important for you, then your kid will know it's important for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that your family is healthy and you can engage in your community as a healthy unit that permeates out through the community,
mm-hmm.
shows other families how to do that too,
mm-hmm.
so on. And then that creates a healthier community. So,
yeah, that concept of modeling kind of
exactly.
showing up in lots of different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Are there any resources that you recommend for this sort of thing?
I think in this COVID time, one of the most useful things that almost anyone could utilize is counseling,
mm-hmm.
Or some kind of therapy. Even if you have lived one of those quote unquote easy lives, this is not an easy time.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, we weren't created to live like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's something you haven't explored, I would really encourage you to try it. I have found it to be so helpful, and I think most people can find some kind of benefit, maybe one that you don't even expect, from counseling. So I would try that. And then finding ways for you and your child to practice self-expression. So maybe that's a Mommy and Me music class, or maybe you're taking some art classes, or what have you, you know, some form of self-expression that either you can do individually or you can do together with your child.
Mm.
I think finding a social outlet as you're able right now is really important. So looking into those community groups, maybe put on through the Parks Association in your town, or the YMCA, what have you, swim team, summer camp, those kinds of things. Even if they have to be virtual, we have to find a way to get these children socialized.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-negotiable. So,
yeah.
And not to be doom and gloom, but we do think about, like, what is the long-term effects this is going to have on our children, you
mm-hmm.
know, and anything we can do to minimize that risk. We should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's exhausting, but we should do it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, speaking of, what are your hopes for these pandemials?
I think I am a pandemial, technically. I was reading about it. I think pandemials, quote unquote, are anyone that was born after 97.
Wow.
Because you don't remember life before 9/11, but you fully comprehend the impact that COVID has had on your life. So I think that's me.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, that is me. So my hopes for myself and everyone behind me, including the young children that I now work with, is that even amidst the beginnings that they have had through this pandemic, that they're able to learn to build positive social relationships, long-lasting, deep, in-person, meaningful relationships. And another thing is just that they're able to envision a life post-COVID, you know? And that, I think, would be impossible right now if you were a small child.
Mm-hmm.
But I think parents can encourage that, you know, talking about, like, what your life was before, things you used to like to do before COVID, and how one day we're going to get to do those things again, or
mm-hmm.
some variation of that thing again, or what have you. And then the last thing would just be that they're comfortable enough to disclose any struggle that they feel like they're going through and be willing to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. With all of that said, can you share some advice for our listeners who are facing this mental health crisis along with all of us?
Yeah, if I'm speaking to the adults in the room, the very first thing I would say is to take a break. Use every single day of your paid time off. Go on a vacation. At some point, you have to stop. Not only is it for your benefit, but it's also for the benefit of your child and your family, right? Because if you are not at your best, like, you simply just can't do it, you know? You have to take a break. So I think that's extremely important. I am a huge advocate for using your days off and going and finding things that are life-giving to you and doing them. And then I think also another thing you can really actively try to do is making changes in your day-to-day life that can make it easier, can make it something that you like doing, and make your life something you're happy to wake up and do every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty abstract idea, you know, that, and that's going to be different from person to person, but maybe it's prioritizing your morning workout, or maybe it's making sure you take the 10 minutes to make your afternoon tea or what have you. But those little things really, really have made a difference for me, and I imagine they would for most people. So that, and again, doing those things for you will make your life easier and life easier for your child in turn.
Well, Maddie, thank you so much for sharing your insights and for joining us on the Imagine
course.
Team. It's been wonderful to talk with you and reflect and learn from you. And yeah, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2022.